You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, we are back, the dynamic duo, Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn. We're talking everything Timberwolves, your daily duo bringing you Timberwolves content throughout the week. Coming to you a little later today, there's a little bit of the Super Bowl celebration that spilled into Monday, and so we're coming to you a little bit later today, but hey, we're still coming to you with daily content on the Timberwolves. Just a reminder, make sure you are checking out the Locked On NBA podcast. That's a great place to look for all of your NBA content. If you're looking for updates from around the league, not just on your favorite team, then the Locked On NBA podcast is where you should go. Trey, it's been an exciting weekend. I think that it's easy. The Super Bowl Sunday kind of takes up so much of your mental sports processing data that I think it makes what happened over the weekend feel really far away, but it was a really eventful weekend for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, it feels like I just went through a five-day-long weekend. It was very, very odd. It was definitely eventful for Minnesota. That game against Denver was a really, I want to say frustrating game, but I'll just say it was a fun watch. How about this? It was a better game than the Super Bowl, the biggest game for football. It just proves that basketball is better than football at this point. Like a random Timberwolves Nuggets game was better than the Super Bowl. I don't know. That's my take currently.
I'm not sure if I'm willing to jump on board with that take, and I will always be a football stan, but I have been following basketball for longer. I have been into basketball for longer. If I had to cancel out every sport but one, NBA would be the sport that survived the sports apocalypse in this hypothetical question that I'm creating. I will say that it is ironic in this age of the NBA coming after, there's criticism around the NBA. Oh, not enough defense in the NBA. It's a bad sport because there's not enough defense. There's criticisms around the NFL. Oh, this is the death of all defense. And then there's just this massive bemoaning when it's a 13-3 game in the Super Bowl. When you would think with the conversation around the NBA and the NFL being, oh, there's not enough defense in either one of these leagues being played, and this is not a fundamentally sound game anymore for either one of these leagues. And then when they have a defensive performance, nobody can stop bitching and moaning.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in football history, I'm pretty sure, in Super Bowl history. 13-3, as you said. That's pretty insane. Like, for the past Super Bowls that I've watched, you know, we've watched some really crazy high-scoring Super Bowls over the past few years. It was just really depressing to go into that game because I was, like, already kind of, like, riled up from that Timberwolves loss by one point. And then we go into the Super Bowl, I'm like, man, this just keeps getting, like, worse. But you're so right about the data. It's just, like, nonstop data going and entering your mind through this sports weekend. So even though it was only a two-day weekend, it felt really, really long, especially as a Wolves fan after Saturday night. But let's get into it, Colin. What were your original thoughts? What were your first thoughts after this Wolves game? It was tough, man. It was a tough outing.
It was. It really was. And let's set the stage properly for this, too, because it wasn't – I mean, the Denver Nuggets' second-best record going into this weekend, going into the Friday-Saturday weekend in the Western Conference, right there with the Warriors. And it's been the Warriors and the Nuggets or the Rockets and the Nuggets, I think, at one point. But the Nuggets have been trading places for second and first with a bunch of different teams this whole season, and they have been probably the most consistent squad this year. Maybe even more consistent than the Warriors. I don't know if I'm willing to jump all the way on that ledge, but it's definitely a conversation. And so going into this weekend, you already had this really big juggernaut and in the Nuggets, and then going into the Friday game, you had a couple of their guys in Harrison and Murray out for their backcourt was out against the Rockets, but you knew that they were really deep and that they still had a bunch of frontcourt pieces, and so that was going to be a good game. They end up putting up 136 points on the Rockets, absolutely dogging them at home. And they were just, every single aspect of the Nuggets was looking really good. They put 35 points in the first quarter, 48 points in the second quarter, 30 points in the third quarter against the Rockets. And it led me to believe that the Timberwolves were absolutely screwed, that they were going to get shellacked on Saturday. So that was kind of the mental side of this going into that game on Saturday before we even hit any action on the hardwood.
Yeah, it sucks. I had Minnesota winning this one just because I was getting like excited and maybe I was just feeling myself in that black tea on Friday morning. But I was really excited. I was getting ready to text you, Colton, as soon as this game was ending. I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't know what's going to happen, but it feels like we're going to get this W. I did not end up texting you. I was too sad about this loss. But you know what? Like, if we're setting the stage correctly, we kind of called this on Friday, though, because we said that this was a really deep team, as most people knew, and we knew how great this organization has been over the past 2 years, kind of building from the ground up. I might say a little Golden State Warriors-like. They're signing a lot of players not to max contracts, but rather kind of like building methodically. And they're really only one star away from being a real championship contender, from like being a team that can actually compete with the Warriors all the way. Because you could argue that they could compete with them right now. I just can't see it with KD and DeMarcus Cousins on the team this year. But they just have such a deep team. Like, Jamal Murray was out of this game, and he's arguably their second best player. And Monta Morris and Malik Beasley just filled in so perfectly for his production in this game, totaling together. Let's see here. They had like 35 points in this one. That was crazy. A crazy great performance from both of them.
Yeah, they were. And actually against the Timberwolves, it was 39 points that they combined for. And Beasley shot 64% from the floor and Morris shot 53%. So not only were they putting up points, but they were doing it super efficiently. And those guys combined for a 5 from 10 from downtown as well. So really efficient from all over the place as far as shooting. But despite all of that, despite everything that you had going into it, despite just a terrible night for a close to a no-show from Wiggins outside of like that first quarter, it really felt like he was there. But outside of a pretty poor game from Wiggins, outside of a really slow night for Derrick Rose, just as far as what you're used to seeing versus what he was coming back from the injury. I know you probably he was going to be slower, but really slow night for Rose. Really bad night for Wiggins. Quiet night from Taj Gibson. But Karl Anthony Towns is the great equalizer for the Timberwolves. And he came to play against the Nuggets. Dogged them for 31 points, 12 rebounds. Shot 63% on 19 shots and shot 40% from downtown. Fantastic performance from Towns. And you know what? A lot of people would wonder why he didn't take the last shot when he was playing so well. And I think that this is where I really want to rest a lot of this conversation, because a loss to what is right now the best team in the Western Conference, it is what it is. I mean, they still have a lot of injuries. This is still not a complete team. It is what it is. They lost by 1 point to the best team right now in the West. My problem with the Timberwolves, which has increasingly been a problem that has really started to concern me more than anything else on this team, is how they attack final possessions, whether that's a final possession at the half or a final possession in a really close game. Increasingly, it looks like the Timberwolves don't know what they're doing to finish out and close out a game.
Yeah, at all. And it's really, really bad at this point.
Really bad.
Like Luol Deng having that dunk, for the assist by Jared Bayless, the last 2 points of that game for Minnesota, moving the score to 104 to 106 to only be down by one, was fantastic. I love seeing Luol aggressive. He actually had more shots than Andrew Wiggins in this game, which is pretty crazy considering he had 14 minutes less played in this one. But just giving Deng kind of like a 3-point shot from 20-ish feet there, not kind of like letting Towns take over after having such a complete set game. The 31-12-7 game, he looked like Nikola Jokic out there. It just wasn't the best move, and I think we've been talking about this for the past, you know, 2-3 months now. It's like the Timberwolves just don't have a lot of great sets at the end of games, and they've been playing or toying with the idea of letting Wiggins take the last shot or Bayless throw some chucks up or even play Towns in the post earlier in the season. They kind of just don't know who to go to. And with Towns being so hot, as you've alluded to, like I would just give him the ball and let him go to work, honestly, even in the post against Jokic or Millsap, whoever it was. I would just like to see him get more production at the end of that game. And he had a pretty good lay-in like leading up to that too. I think he took the lead 102 to 101 like a minute before the end of the game. So it's not like he was cold or anything. So it didn't make any sense for me.
Well, the other thing too is that it's not even – I'm not even saying – obviously Towns should have gotten the last shot. And what was there when they had the possession? What was there, like 14 seconds left, 12 seconds left, yeah. Something like that, even if it was just 10? There's enough time to set up a play. There's plenty of time. The problem that I have increasingly with the Timberwolves is not who is taking the shots, it's what kind of looks they're getting. So, okay, if you want Wiggins, he's a max contract player. Maybe he's not having the best night, but if you want Wiggins to take the last shot, fine. What I don't want is I don't want this team to take isolation jumpers after very little dribbling or really any off-ball movement from teammates around them. I don't want the last shot to come down to this Rockets-esque kind of isolation, hand in my face, fading away shot. Jimmy Butler is no longer on this team. That's not a shot for anybody really on this roster that they can really have success with when they're outside of 15 feet. And so don't have that be the last shot. Have off-ball movement. Set screens. Set pick and rolls. Set double screens at the top of the key. Set something up off of the elbow. Open stuff up. Try and get some movement to get a guy free. And even if there is 3 seconds left on the clock, on an inbounds pass, you should be able to play off of some kind of screen. There's absolutely no excuse for this, let alone when you have time. And the problem isn't that they lost by 1 point. I'm really glad they were in this game against the Nuggets when they were down. The Nuggets had injuries, so did the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves still played with them. Towns carried this team. The problem was is that game was very winnable. You had a chance to really set something up, and instead you had Jared Bayless dribble it out, kind of dribble in, dribble back out to the top, and then throw it over to Luol Deng for a contested three. That's not how the game should end.
Yeah, and the worst part about it, like, I wasn't even surprised watching that. Like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Luol Deng taking a three at the last second of a game against, like, one of the best teams in the league right now, arguably playing, like, the best team in the league. Like, that makes sense. Let Luol Deng shoot the three to win this one. And even if Luol Deng did have a solid game, maybe is one of his better ones in a Timberwolves jersey, if not the best one, he should not be taking the shot. And I agree with you. If it's how he took the shot, that would have kept him open. That's fine, too, if he was open off the elbow. Whatever it is, if he was open, that would have made sense. But taking a contested shot, that's obviously not Bayless's or Deng's fault. That's a coaching issue. It's a game plan problem. And it's been like that since Saunders was the coach. But even to kind of take the blame off Saunders, it was kind of like that with Thibodeau, too. It really hasn't changed that much. A lot of ISO ball, a lot of non-movement off the ball. And it's just such a bad, consistent part of this Timberwolves fourth quarter offense. And not to mention, they only scored 2 points between a 6 minute mark and the 2 minute mark. So they were really dry there for like a solid 4 minutes at the end of this game. The Timberwolves and Nuggets only scored 18 points each in the fourth quarter. So this was just a bad fourth quarter overall for both teams. And like you said, it was just a really winnable game. And it was too bad that it had to end in a dang contested three.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is, okay, for whatever reason, let's say Saunders got a phone call and somebody has his family at gunpoint and they're telling him that Luol Deng has to take the last shot. Okay, whatever. That's the situation. Fine. You want Luol to take the last shot. How do you not, like, run, like, a pick and roll where Towns sets he grabs the defender for Bayless and then rolls to the basket? So at least if you have Deng in the corner, you're making that guy in the corner choose between Towns or Luol, and maybe he's playing a little, he starts fading off Luol Deng a little bit so that you can at least give him some air. Don't make it just a contested shot that you throw up as some sort of Hail Mary attempt. Like, there's so, I'm just thinking over the plays that you could have run that all revolve around Towns and his 31 points drawing a defender or a couple defenders away from other shooters. And there's so many better ways that could have ended. And it just, that's the worst part, is when you know that there was something there and that it wasn't taken advantage of.
Like, can I not see an Andrew Wiggins pick and pop to Towns? Like, can that not happen at the last second of the game? Like, I don't understand. Like, when they're drawing up these plays, do they think that their opponent's coaches are just going to figure it out? Like, honestly, I would have rather have seen, like, freaking Jared Bayless throw an alley-oop to Andrew Wiggins the last 10 seconds of this game and just get fouled at the rim than try to see a contested three that there was no movement off the ball and it was just some guy sitting in the corner that happened to be a dude that hasn't really, you know, done anything in the past few years, Luol Deng. So it's just such a bad call. And also it's just a consistent thing we're seeing, Colton. Like, for any listeners, if you've missed any of the past like 10 games, it's like every game that's been close the last 2 minutes or last minute, and in this case the last 15-ish seconds, it's the same thing every time that we keep talking about. No movement, no sets, and it's just guys trying to essentially make or create their own shot. And the problem is we probably have only 1 to 2, like 1.5 guys that can create their own shot. And Towns is probably the only one guy there. that can create his own shot, and he's not even getting the opportunity to do so because a lot of big men have trouble doing that because they're so big. So you have to essentially put him in the post, and they didn't even let him try to do that in this one. So it was just super unfortunate.
The Golden State Warriors have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. All those guys can create those their own shots, but you never see any of those guys standing still.
Oh, and ever. Yeah.
And the thing of it is, too, is that, like, even if you run something simple, like, just do, like, a double screen at the top of the key where, like, Wiggins and Towns both come up and set screens for – or set screens and pick the defender for J.R. Bayless, and then he shoots a shot off the – at the three-point line off the elbow. Like, that's not even the best look you can get, and at least you make it feel like you force the defense to at least try and defend you. Like, if you're not even making them move around and try, if you're just dribbling it out a little bit and then passing it over to a guy who has a defender on him already, you're not forcing the defense to at least try and adjust and make moves and go out and defend other pieces and play out of position a little bit. You're not even forcing them into a difficult situation. You're making it easy for the defense. And for every sport, that's kind of for every sport, basically, if you want to boil it down, pretty much every sport that's a team sport, you're trying to find space and you're trying to make the other guy work a little harder. And the Timberwolves don't do either one of those things in the final plays of these games or these quarters.
Yeah, and to try to stay positive here, because I hear you in all these counts and I'm right there with you. The one thing I saw from this game, something you've already brought up, is Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, obviously, he had a great game. He shot 63% from the field, 40% from three. He had 31 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, a couple steals, and a block. But the one thing I noticed, and he only had 3 fouls, which he's had a lot of foul trouble in the past few weeks, so 3 fouls is really good.
Yeah.
But the one thing I noticed was that the way to counter Jokic in these games is to play through a primary facilitator in your big man. And most big men around the league, obviously, unless you're a unicorn like Jokic or Towns, they can't pass the ball or read the court as well as well as point guards can. And combating Jokic with a similar style of play seemed to really work. They dragged him out to the perimeter a lot. He didn't get in the post to get too comfortable too much, especially on the defensive end. It kind of allowed Towns to outplay Jokic in this one, even though Jokic had a triple-double himself. He had 5 turnovers, which was big for him because he only averages around 2 a game. So he kind of bothered him a little bit, and he only held him to 13 points, 4 of 13 from the field. In the past 2 performances, Jokic has not played great against Towns. And I think it's because they really try to – essentially, Colton, I feel like we solve our point guard problem watching these Nuggets-Timberwolves games, don't we? I feel like watching Towns run the offense kind of shows us a sign for the future. Because I keep hearing all these remarks from, like, Dan Moore, like, point Wiggins, or, like, other people like me making jokes about Isaiah Cannon, like, being our, you know, next backup point guard. Or Derrick Rose is going to sign long-term with Minnesota. He can be our point guard. Or even Tyus Jones, like – but you don't necessarily – you need a point guard just a guard in the backcourt to have. But in the new modern style of NBA, you don't necessarily need a point guard that's always playing the point to the point where they're just facilitating, right? Like, so I like this new Towns that they're letting him kind of have more freedom, and he doesn't feel as congested down low. So I liked his ability in this game to really keep a fluid offense going on both ends too, on defense too. He looked more lateral, quick on the lateral movements. So I just like to see more of this in future games. I like to give them to give him more freedom and just play through him more.
Yeah, I like that too, and that's a good positive end on for this game. I really did like that a lot from them and from Towns. We're going to get to our one break. We're only doing one break today because Trey and I really needed to vent about how the Timberwolves run the final play of these games, and it's a big problem that we've noticed. So we needed to vent a little bit about that, so we went a little long in the first segment. So we're going to take our one break today, and we're going to talk about the Grizzlies. Trey and I have already discussed, and we alluded to it last week, but tomorrow we're going to have a really big trade-centric show. And the deadline is coming up, so there's going to be a lot of trade talk over the next week. Tomorrow's segment is going to be very specific, and we're going to cover a couple different things. I don't want to give away any surprises, but we are going to be talking a lot of trade basketball. And so with that on the mind, we're going to talk a little bit about the Memphis Grizzlies today because they play the Timberwolves tomorrow. But let's get a little bit ahead of our skis here. Let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies today because we have a really interesting and special basketball segment, a couple of segments that we wanted to do about the trade deadline tomorrow, but we knew we couldn't get to them today because of all the weekend festivities for the Timberwolves. So let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. Just really quick, really close game. Obviously, it took an OT game winner from Towns to beat them the first round, and that was at home. Now they're going to be in Memphis, and it looks like they're probably going to be really low on point guards again. Derrick Rose, I'm seeing the injury report today, day-to-day, and he did not partake in practice today. Tyus Jones, still no timetable for his return. And Jeff Teague went through parts of practice today, but that doesn't sound promising either. So I'm not sure that any of these three guys are going to be playing against the Grizzlies, which is not good news. Or maybe is it? Maybe does that mean we're going to see more point Wiggins and point Towns?
I think it's good news because I think they need to test this point Towns thing out more. I know they've been playing with it all year. I mean, if you're a constant watcher of Timberwolves games and not just a listener, and you watch a lot of back to back games, Towns' passing ability this season has improved so much. A lot of people have been talking about his three-point shot or his free throws or even just his quicker movement off the bounce. But his just passing ability to be flashy, too down low, his behind-the-back passes he's been doing all season long with Taj Gibson have been so undervalued as easy buckets for Taj because everyone looks at Gibson as such an easy bucket veteran. But a lot of those buckets are easy because Towns makes them that way. And that's what a great facilitator does, and you don't even notice it sometimes. So I think that I'd like to see him play like that against Marc Gasol in this game. And I don't think we'll see the same game, obviously, a one that was this close, this past one. Even though Memphis is coming off a win against New York, that doesn't really mean much for this Memphis Grizzlies team because New York was trying to figure out their new team without Kristaps. I mean, not that they've had Kristaps all year or even last year, but just trying to figure out Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, and Wes Matthews was a new thing for them. So they're just trying to figure that out without Hardaway Jr. on that team. And it's just, it'll be an interesting game. I know that Grizzlies are coming off a win, but I have more confidence in the Timberwolves to pull away in this one. This Grizzlies roster is just taken apart piece by piece. They're just not a good basketball team. Their bench are a couple of players that most people have never even heard of besides Joakim Noah. I'm looking at Shelvin Mack, Julian Washburn, Ivan Rabb, Javon Carter, Jamichael Green. Some of these names, obviously I know a lot of these names. I think there's one name there I don't even know. But in the starting lineup, there's obviously talent there when Conley and Gasol and Jackson. But I just think Minnesota's got to pull away with this one. They definitely can't afford to lose, especially in the playoff race right now. But like we said last week, there's a possibility that Conley and Gasol won't even be on this team tomorrow, Golden, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I was about to ask, as far as from 1 to 10 being the most confident, where are you at right now that Gasol and Conley get dealt before the ball drops tomorrow?
Oof. I'm going to say I'm at a 6 right now, just because we haven't heard a lot of whispers moving into these next couple of days. I really think Conley, if he's moved, it'll be on the deadline day. I don't think they're going to be able to move Marc Gasol. And I think if anything, maybe that's just for the best right now for him to kind of help Jaren Jackson get ready for his, what people think is going to be a future all-star one day. So I'd like to see Gasol the next two seasons just kind of help Jaren Jackson there in Memphis. I just don't think he has much trade value right now. And then Mike Conley, I just think has a lot of trade value, even with that contract to a lot of teams that are borderline playoff teams. Like Utah has been really interested in maybe moving Ricky Rubio and another player for Conley, which makes too much sense for the Jazz to do right now. So I think there's a 60% chance that one of these guys isn't on this team tomorrow. And if it's either one of them, it's Conley, which is probably best for Minnesota if that happened, just because they don't have the point guard to kind of defend him right now.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that I know that Conley's probably the one who gets dealt later just because he does have the bigger contract, and so he might be even a little harder to move. But if you're looking at it, it might be better anyways for the Timberwolves to face a Gasol-less Grizzlies versus a Conley-less Grizzlies, because Gasol's the guy who's going to give Timberwolves or Towns the real problems, and if Towns can go off for 40 points and get 8 assists in this game, then that's a sure win for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'd just like to see Towns get more of the facilitating position in this one. I mean, Marc Gasol has kind of been one of the original centers in the modern style NBA to really start showing other teams that he can pass the ball really, really well, especially with the pick and pops with Conley and him, because he'll just pass it right back to Conley driving down for an easy bucket a lot. So those are really fun to watch. But ultimately, yeah, I think this duo is still going to be on the team tomorrow, even though I'd like to see them moved, not just to help Minnesota, but I also wish the best for those two players, like how we talked about previously. I know Conley's your guy, But even Marc Gasol is a very underrated player, and I would like to see them have success elsewhere. But I do think they're going to be on the scene tomorrow. So ultimately, we're going to be playing the same exact team that we saw a few games ago. Again, I hope that hopefully it doesn't come down to that last second shot that Towns had to throw up. And they just have to play. They have to play at a different style at the beginning of this game. They can't just wait for Memphis to punch them in the face and then get right back up. They have to play at a heavier pace, and they have to realize that what's on the stake right now is that the West is going to see a serious shakeup by the trade deadline. You could see Anthony Davis in a Lakers jersey by the end of the week. You really don't know these things, and if that is true, Minnesota's playoff chances are looking slim to none. So they have to win the easy games right now, Colton.
Definitely. They definitely do, and this is a must-win game. I really feel like the Timberwolves pull this one out, just because I think when push comes to shove, I think that Towns is going to carry them over some teams. And I don't know. There was a lot of reports that made it seem like Gasol was really thinking that he wouldn't even be back in Memphis by the time that this game came around. And so it might be a weird move in the Grizzlies or it might be a weird mood, excuse me, in the Grizzlies locker room anyways, which might make for some weird on-court production or as far as just what they're doing in the basketball game. And so I don't know. I think that this Grizzlies team is in a really weird spot, and I'm not sure how conducive that is to really great play for them tomorrow night against the Timberwolves. So we'll see what happens. But I think that this one is there for the Timberwolves as far as winnable games.
Yeah, they can't give it up. And if I see Jared Bayless take 2 3-point shots at the end of this game to lose, I need to take a Wolves break for a few days, Colton. I don't know how much I could do singing
Jared. We're just going to talk about water polo and about the Olympics coming up, and that's all. That's all we're going to talk about. We're going to look ahead to the Olympic Games and stuff like that. We're going to really get into golf and previewing the Masters. That's what the Locked On Wolves show is going to be coming out. It's going to be Locked On everything else.
Locked On water polo. Let's start this trend. We can do this.
We can do this. I believe in us. All right. That's it for us. Again, make sure you're looking out. Tomorrow's podcast, we're really going to have some fun. Really going to go and try and blow your mind with some stuff. It's the trade deadline right around the corner. We are 3 days away. And let's get funky. Let's get crazy with it, people. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening again to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.